be attentive. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be able to clear my mind. Lord, I ask that you would please help me, that your Holy Spirit would just come upon me and help me, Lord, as I attempt to preach your word. I cannot humanly do the work that needs to be done this morning, but the Holy Spirit can. And Lord, I ask that you please use me as a vessel, as a tool, that your word might minister to us this morning, that we would not leave here this morning just thinking, oh, we had a good time in church and the singing was good and the sermon was nice, Lord, but that it would be a time that would change our lives, Lord, that we would leave here different than how we came. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Jeremiah chapter number 18, and the first few verses of Jeremiah are a very well-known passage there. If you look at verse 1 again, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house." That's a very well-known terminology there, referred to throughout Scripture, the concept there of the potter and the vessel of clay, the potter's house. Many churches are even named, you know, the potter's house and stuff like that. And I want to speak to you this morning or preach to you on the subject of the potter's house. Now, before we really start dealing with the text this morning, you need to understand a few things. In order to really understand this passage, there are a few things that you need to understand about this concept. Now, keep your finger there in Jeremiah. That's our text for this morning, so we're going back there. But go to the book of Job. The book of Job is a big book right before the book of Psalms. So if you go towards the left in your Old Testament there, right before the book of Psalms, you got the book of Job. And go to Job chapter number 10, just real quickly. Job chapter number 10. And just by way of introduction, let me show you a few things here. Job chapter number 10, right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter number 10. And look at verse number 9. Job chapter number 10 and verse 9. This is what Job said. Job said, "Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay." Do you see that? Job said, "Thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again?" You got to remember, when God created man, when God created Adam, he created him out of dust. He created him out of clay. You know, oftentimes in funerals, when a person dies and their body goes back to the earth, the pastor will say something like, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust." And that refers to is that our bodies, which are clay, our bodies, which are dust, which are ashes, are returning back to the earth from which it came. And Job is referring to that. If you look at verse 9 again, it says, "Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again." Go to Job chapter number 13, just flip a page there. Job chapter 13, look at verse number 12. Job chapter 13, verse 12. In Job 13, 12, the Bible says, "Your remembrance are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay." Do you see that? He said, "Your bodies are like bodies of clay." Go to Job chapter number 33, just a few pages over. Job chapter number 33. Now, this is not Job speaking. This is Elihu. And if you've read the book of Job, you know at the end of the book of Job, God says everything Job said was right and everything his three friends said were wrong. And we understand that. But here, Elihu, it's not necessarily wrong, and here's why. He's agreeing with Job. Look at what he says. Job chapter 33. Look at verse number 6. Job chapter number 33 and verse 6. You find Elihu agreeing with Job. Because remember, we just saw Job in two different places. He said that we are made out of clay. Our bodies are made out of clay. And then Elihu said in Job 33:6, he said, "Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead." Notice what he says. "I also am formed out of the clay." Now here's what you got to understand. The Bible often refers to us, go back towards Jeremiah, but don't go to Jeremiah, go to the book of Isaiah. Right before the book of Jeremiah, you should find the book of Isaiah there, and Isaiah chapter 64. What you need to remember is this: the Bible often refers to you and I as being made out of clay. So when this story is given, or this parable is given there in Jeremiah of the potter and the potter's vessel, which is a potter, a vessel of clay, what you need to understand is that that vessel of clay represents the creation. It represents you and I. You and I are represented in that vessel of clay. Are you there in Isaiah 64? Look at verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8, the Bible says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, Father, notice what it says, we are the clay. So when we're in Jeremiah 18 and we see this story given of the potter and the vessel of clay, you've got to understand, the vessel of clay represents you and I. We're the creation. Now the potter represents God, who's the creator. Look at Isaiah 64. Look at verse 8 again. Look what it says. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter. Do you see that? So the Bible says we're the clay, and the Lord, He is our potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. So in this story, I could have told you that, but I just wanted you to biblically see it from the Bible there. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 18. According to the Bible, when we get to Jeremiah 18 and we see the story, you need to understand that the potter is a picture or a representation of the Creator, God, and the clay is a picture or a representation of the creation, you and I. We are the vessel of clay, and God is the potter. And if you remember, Job said, and don't go back there, but remember we saw the verse in Job 10:9, Job said, Thou hast made me, in reference to God. So God is the potter, you and I are the clay. When it comes to this analogy here, now if you're there in Jeremiah 18, I just want to give you 3 points this morning in regards to the potter or the potter's house. Number one, I'd like you to see the potter's work. Look at verse 2 there, Jeremiah 18:2. It says, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, notice what it says, he wrought a work on the vessel. Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house, which is a representation of God. And when he gets there, he sees the potter, and the Bible says he wrought a work on the wheels there. Now that word wrought there, what that word wrought means, it means he fashioned or he formed. So the potter is getting to work, and he's fashioning, and he's forming, and he's doing a work. And you say, what is he working on? Well, he's working on a vessel of clay, because that's what the potter does. See, what you need to understand when it comes to the potter's work, that the work is you. Because you're the clay. You're the vessel. Look at verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay. Do you see that? That's you and I. So when it comes to the concept of the potter, the potter's house, when Jeremiah got to the potter's house, the first thing he noticed was the potter's work. And the potter's work is you and I. Now keep your finger there in Jeremiah, but go to the book of Ephesians in your New Testament there. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians right after the book of Galatians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Now, I'm just giving you a heads up, because we look at a lot of Bible. We look at a lot of Scripture at Verity Baptist Church. So I'm just giving you a heads up. We're going to come back to Ephesians a couple more times in the sermon. So it might be good for you to put a ribbon there, or put your bulletin there, or something there in Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're talking about the potter's work. And what you need to understand about the potter's work is that the work is you. He's working on a vessel of clay. And spiritually, God is a potter, and God is doing a work on you. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 2? Look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Do you see that? The Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says that we, the clay, are His, the potter's, workmanship. You just need to understand, and you need to remember that God is doing a work, and God is doing a work on you. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 18. See, what you need to understand is this, and the quicker you get this, the faster you'll realize what it is that God is doing in your life. God loves you how you are, but God does not necessarily like you how you are. You understand what I'm saying? No, well, God loves you. God loves everybody. For God so loved the world. We understand that. He said, I've got this and I've got that and I've got this problem. Hey, God loves you exactly how you are, but He doesn't necessarily like you how you are. God's doing a work in your life. He is the potter. You are the clay. You say, well, what is God working on? You. Just understand that. Just get that. But go back to Jeremiah. Are you there in Jeremiah chapter 18? Look at verse 4 again. And the vessel that he made of clay, notice this, was marred. Do you see that?
Yes.
You know what that word marred means? It means to detract or to take away from the wholeness or perfection. It means to be damaged. It means to be impaired. It means to be impaired in quality. It means to be ruined. The Bible says that God is the potter, you are the clay, God is doing a work on the clay, but the work that He did, look at verse 4 again, and the vessel that He made of clay was marred. Not only is the work you, but you need to understand this, the work is marred. The work is damaged. The work is not complete. It's not whole. It's missing parts. You would not look at it and say it is perfect. You would not look at it and say that it is of quality. You would not look at it and say that it is exactly how it needs to be. Understand this in your life. The sermon tonight, this morning, is to help you understand the work that God is doing in your life. And what you need to understand is this. Number one, God's doing a work on you. But number two, God's working on you. Because you've got problems. Because you've got issues. Now, you and I will look at ourselves and say, well, I've got everything put together. You understand? Right now, I've got a good job, and I've got a good house, and I've got a good this, and I've got a good that. And we often, you know, look at ourselves and we, with pride, but when God looks at His work, He says, not good enough. Mm-hmm. He says, there's something wrong with it. He says, it's marred. And what you need to understand is this. The world, our sin, and the devil have done a very good job at damaging us as vessels. Keep your finger there. Like I said in Jeremiah, that's the text. But go to Luke chapter 22 in the New Testament there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third book in the New Testament. Luke chapter number 22. Look at verse number 31. Luke chapter 22 verse 31. Luke 22 verse 31. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22 verse number 31. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Peter. And notice what He says to Peter, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, notice what He says, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Why? That he may sift you as wheat. I say this often, and we look at these verses a lot, but you need to understand this in your Christian life. Satan wants nothing more than to ruin and destroy your life. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon. And by the way, Peter was a good man. By the way, Peter was the leader of the apostles. By the way, Peter was a godly man. I mean, he wasn't perfect. We understand that. But he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. Why? Why does he want you? Because he wants to befriend you. That's what the world wants you to think. Because he wants to make you popular. That's what the world wants you to think. Because he wants to give you riches and fame. That's what the world wants you to think. By the way, that's what Satan wants you to think. But the Bible says that Satan had desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. That he might destroy you. That he might have his way with you. You're there in Luke. Go to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. Right after the book of Luke, you got the book of John. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 10. John chapter number 10. Look at verse 10. John 10, 10. The Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 10. Look what Jesus said. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Say, what is it that the thief wants? What is it that the devil wants? What is it that the world wants to do? What is it that sin wants to do to your life? Here's what it wants to do. It wants to steal. It wants to kill. It wants to destroy. Yes, it wants to steal your happiness. Yes, it wants to steal your joy. Yes, it wants to kill your relationships. Yes, it wants to destroy your testimony, destroy your Christian life. I'm just here to warn you. The devil has done a good job at marring us, destroying us, making us incomplete, making us unusable. As vessels, we often come to the potter not perfect, not ready for use. Go to 1 Peter towards the end of the New Testament there. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. If you get to 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, Revelation, you went too far, alright? 1 Peter chapter number 5. It's towards the end there of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 8. It's interesting that Jesus Christ said to Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. If you remember the story, Peter said, oh no, no, I'll never deny you. Remember that? Filled with pride. Remember, Satan had his way with Peter. Remember, he ended up denying the Lord three times. And he ended up quitting on God and quitting on the ministry. He went back to fishing. And Jesus Christ had to lovingly draw him back. Remember, Jesus appeared to him there on the sea there, on the shore there. And he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? You remember that story? And he was restored again. One of these days we'll preach on that. But It's interesting because in 1 Peter, we've got Peter, the same man now, but now he's mature. Now he's grown a little bit. Now he understands the word. Notice what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He's not undermining Satan anymore. He's not saying, "Ah, Jesus, not me, not me. Everyone will deny you except me." He's not saying, he understands now. He understands that the devil has done a good job at marring us, at destroying us as vessels. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 18. I want you to notice a few things, though. Look at verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 18, look at verse 4. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred," make note of this, "in the hand of the potter." Now you need to understand this. The vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, not by the hand of the potter. So often in our Christian lives, we will find issues or trials or things we go through, and it seems like the number one person we like to blame is God. Very few of us realize, and very few of us are honest enough to say, "Well, it's my flesh who brought that upon me. It's my sin who brought that upon me. It's my inconsistency, or it's my allowing myself to be tempted of the devil." Or, you know, the first person we ever want to blame is God, the potter. Hey, God created you. I don't know, maybe you've got a hobby or maybe you do something, but if you spend time working on something, if you're a potter and that's your livelihood, or you're a potter and maybe you do that for fun or whatever, and you're sitting there and you're working on something, you're not trying to work on something and try to make a vessel that people are going to look at and say, "What's wrong with that? Is that supposed to be a bowl? What is that?" You know, the potter didn't want to make a gift for his wife on Valentine's Day, which is on the 14th this month. Just trying to help you out, right? Some of you guys are real thick-headed. He doesn't want to take a piece of clay, a pot to his wife or something he made and say, "Hey, look what I made for you." And she's like, "Okay, what is that?" God doesn't want marred vessels. He doesn't want to destroy. People say, "Well, God did this to me." No. It was marred in the hand of the potter. It was not marred by the hand of the potter. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose. But here's what you got to understand. Oftentimes, marred vessels find themselves in the potter's house, in the hand of the potter. Jesus Christ said, go to Mark. Matthew, Mark. Mark, chapter number 2. You thought I was kidding when I said we go to a lot of passages. Mark, chapter 2. Look at verse 17. Mark, chapter number 2. Look at verse 17. Mark 2, 17. The Bible says, and Mark, chapter 2, verse 17, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See, what you need to understand is someone who's healthy doesn't need a doctor. So who needs a doctor? Someone who's sick. And Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to call the whole. I didn't come. See, that word whole is talking about being perfect. It's talking about being complete. Do you remember what the definition for the word marred was? It was incomplete. It was not whole. He said, I didn't come to call a complete, perfect vessel. He said, I came to find those vessels that were not whole, that were not complete, that were destroyed, that were damaged. He said, I came not to call righteous but sinners to repentance. Now you need to understand, sometimes in the church atmosphere, sometimes in the ministry of church, we come to places like this and we think that, well, I'm supposed to put my tie on, and I'm supposed to put my shiny shoes on, and I'm supposed to put my coat on. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to do that. You know, dress, and I believe you ought to dress nice to church. And that doesn't mean go out and buy a tuxedo, but you ought to be well-dressed and, you know, the nicest clothes you've got or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and bring respect to God. We get that. But what you need to understand is this, that in church ministry, sometimes we begin to mingle with each other and we get to know each other. You go to a sweetheart banquet and you sit with someone. You start to talk to them. And you know what I realize? The more time you spend with people, the more you realize how messed up they really are. And by the way, they're realizing how messed up you are. And what you need to understand is that this is a spiritual hospital. Amen. We're not looking for perfect people. Jesus said, I came to call those who were sick, those who needed help. Those, he said, I don't need righteous people. And he said, by the way, there are no righteous people. But he said, I came to call sinners to repentance. See, you say, well, I've got all sorts of issues and now I'm coming back to church. Hey, I've got all sorts of issues and now I'm going to the potter. Understand this, when you're marred, there's no better place to be than in the hand of the potter. What breaks my heart as a pastor is that I often see people, and when they're going through the trials, when they're going through the tribulations, when they're going through the hardest times in their life, it is our human nature to withdraw from the potter when you really ought to be running to him. When you're marred, there's no better place to be than in the hand of the potter. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I said, number one, I wanted you to see the potter's work. Number two, go back to Jeremiah 18. Number one, we saw the potter's work. Number two, I'd like you to see the potter's word. Number one, we saw the potter's work. Number two, I'd like you to see the potter's word. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18, look at verse 2. He says, arise and go down to the potter's house. Notice what he says. And there I will cause thee to hear my word. Do you see that? Say, well, what's so important about that? Why God uses His Word. Here's what Jesus is saying. You're there in Jeremiah 18. Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Just a few pages over. Jeremiah chapter 23. Look at verse 29. Jeremiah chapter 23. Look at verse number 29. This is what God said about His Word. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. The Bible says, is not my Word... This is what God said about His Word, the Bible. Is not my Word like as a fire, saith the Lord? Notice what He says. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You know, what you need to understand about God's Word is this, that God uses His Word as a tool. He said, my Word is like a fire. He says, my Word is like a hammer. God uses His Word as a tool. And like anybody who you know, I do all sorts of electrical work and stuff like that in my secular job. And guess what I use every day at my work? Tools. And God says, my word is my tool. You say, well, what is God working on? Well, we talked about that already. What is the potter's work? You. See, the tool that God uses to fashion and form and to make you better and to make you the vessel that He wants you to be, you need to know what is it? What is the word that God uses? The tool that God uses? The tool that God uses is His Word. The Bible. Now go to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament there. Hebrews. Hebrews is right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Right before the book of James, right after the book of Philemon. Hebrews chapter number 4. Is it warm? I'm warm, but I'm always warm. So, is it warm? A few people are warm. Raise your hand if you're hot. You're warm. Raise your hand if you're cold. If you're uncomfortably cold, no. What if you're just comfortable? You're comfortable. All right. Okay. I guess we'll go with the majority. Jeremiah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews 4. You need to understand this by God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick. You know what that word quick means? It means living. It means alive. It means alert. By the way, please understand this. This Bible that we hold in our hands, this is not just a book. This is not just good reading. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's alert. It says, for the Word. Look at what it says, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of, not just the heart, but your heart specifically. God's Word is a tool referred to as fire, referred to as hammer, referred to as a sword, referred to as all sorts of different things. Really, whatever it is that God needs to work on you, that's what His Word is. God uses His Word because God uses His Word as a tool. God uses His Word because God uses His Word because it's powerful. Go back to Ephesians. Did I tell you to keep your finger or bulletin or something in Ephesians? Remember I said that? Ephesians chapter 5. Now you wish you would have listened. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 26. Ephesians 5:26. Look what the Bible says. Now this is Jesus Christ. This is the Bible speaking about the work that Jesus Christ does on the church, which the church, we know, is a congregation of believers. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 26. Ephesians 5:26, the Bible says that He, referring to Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it, referring to the church or the congregation of believers, referring to you and I. It says that He might sanctify. It says that He might cleanse it. How is He going to do that? With the washing of water by the Word. That's the tool that God uses on you. You say, what is He trying to do? He's trying to sanctify you. He's trying to cleanse you. He's trying to wash you. Look at verse 27. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here's what He's trying to do. He's trying to remove the imperfections. He's trying to fix the damage. He's trying to make you whole. Make you perfect. So how does He do that? He does that with His Word. Why does God use His Word? Because He uses it as a tool. Because it's powerful. He uses it to work on us. But here's the question. Go back to Jeremiah 18. You say God uses His Word on us. Because He's the potter, we're the clay. But the question is this. Where does God use His Word? Look at Jeremiah 18. Look at verse 2. Arise and go down to the potter's house. You see that?
Yes.
And there, where? The potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. I like what Jeremiah said. Then I went down to the potter's house. He said, well, what's the potter's house? Well, the potter's house is the house of the potter. Who's the potter? God. So it's God's house. You say, well, what is God's house for the New Testament believer? Well, in 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Timothy 3:15, the Bible tells us the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Today, for the New Testament believer, the house of God, or the potter's house, is the church. And God says, go down to the church, go down to the potter's house. That's why it's actually very fitting to name a church the potter's house. Now, if I was going to name a church the potter's house, I'd name it the Potter's House Baptist Church. You know what I mean? But that's why it's called. That's why many churches call themselves the potter's house. Because that's where the potter does his work. You say, how does the potter do his work? Well, he uses his tool, the Word. He said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. He'll cause you to hear his words at the potter's house. Yeah. At the church, which is God's house. He says, go down to the potter's house. And by the way, this is the purpose of the church. Go back to Ephesians. Now you really wish you would have kept your finger there or something. You should be easy to find. Been there a few times. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. This is the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of church? Is it for fellowship? And yes, I believe that one of the purposes is for fellowship. And we need that. Is it for breaking bread? Yeah, the Bible says that in the book of Acts. They broke bread. By the way, that's why we break donuts every Sunday morning around here. Breaking bread. We're just being a New Testament church. Amen. Is it for the purposes of giving? And I do believe that God established the church for the purpose of giving. And I'm not preaching on that this morning, but there's many purposes for the church. But the main purpose for the church, are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Here's why He gave you a pastor. Here's why He gave you evangelists. Here's why He gave you teachers. Here's why He gave you the work in the ministry of the church. Here's why. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, to make you whole. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of the church. Look at verse 13. You said, until when? Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect vessel. Perfect man. You see that? That's the work. unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. The reason for the church is so that you can come down to the potter's house. There, He will cause you to hear His Word. And as you hear His Word preached, and by the way, that's why at Verity Baptist Church, we purposely preach a lot God's Word. I know a lot of churches say, well, we preach God's Word and we preach God's Word. But the average church today, you go down there and they'll read, you know, three verses before they get started. The pastor make a reference to the verse and then yakky yak, 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 blah, 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 blah for 35 minutes about whatever you think. That's not preaching. Look, I don't have anything to teach you or show you. I'm a human. I'm a sinner like you. The only thing that can make a difference in your life is the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need. You say, well, yeah, you go to all these passages. You go to all these, you read the whole chapter. You're just preaching about three verses, pastor. You're just preaching the first six verses. Why do we read the whole chapter?
Because you didn't read your Bible this week.
Because the power comes in God's Word. Because that's the only thing that can change you. That's the only thing that can help you. That's the only thing. I can't work on you, but God, the potter, can work on you through His Word. Now here's what you need to understand. People say to me, you can go back to Jeremiah. People say to me, well, I can get alone with God. But the thing is, you won't. Well, I can read the Bible on my own. Here's what you need to understand, and please understand this. Corporate, meaning all of us together, Bible learning and worship directly impacts personal Bible learning and worship. Those of you that read 9 chapters a day in January, 19 people in our church read 9 chapters of the Bible every day in the month of January. Hey, praise the Lord for that. How many of you had ever done that before you came to Verity Baptist Church? Well, it was amazing to me that when I came to Verity Baptist Church, you guys were, and I've just made a habit of, I just read 9 chapters a day in the Bible every day. But you did it this year. Why? Because corporate Bible learning, corporate Bible worship, getting around God's people, having somebody help you and encourage you and say, hey, you got to read the Bible this year. Then you say, I'm going to read the Bible this year. Personally, I'm going to do it. And you go home and do it. People often come to our church and say, I love the fact that you're a soul winning church. But you know that a lot of people don't go soul winning on their own. The Bible says, how shall they go except they be sent? See, God instituted the church. You say, okay, I can get along with God. Yes, you can. I can do it on my own. Yes, you can. But you probably won't. Say, well, I can do it. It'll last a while, but you'll eventually get away. Look at your own life. When you've been inconsistent to church, when you've missed church a lot, how's your Bible reading been? How's your prayer time been? How's your soul winning been? It's interesting to me that people start having success in their Christian life and they think, wow, look at what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. And they don't realize that there's a direct link to their church attendance. Say, I read the Bible and I can get... Yeah, but here's the thing. When you read the Bible, you read the book of Psalms because you like the book of Psalms. And praise the Lord for the book of Psalms. And you read the book of Matthew because you like the book of Matthew. And praise the Lord for the book of Matthew. Or you read Proverbs, and praise God for Proverbs, and we preach in Psalms, and we preach in Proverbs, and we preach in Matthew, but guess what? We also preach in Jeremiah, we also preach in Joshua, we also preach and apply the verses you don't want to hear, and the things you don't like to listen to. See, all of us can read God's Word and find all the good things that God has to say about how much He loves you, but every once in a while you need to have a preacher stand up and say, hey, God loves you, but He doesn't like you. Not the way you are. He's trying to work on you. See, that's where church comes in. God is able to use His Word, and like a hammer, or a fire, or as water, or as a sword, He begins to chip at you, and shape you, and form you, and rot in you, and work in you, and He says, I love you, but I'm trying to make you what I want you to be. We said number one, we talked about the potter's work. Number two, we talked about the potter's work. Number three, I'd like you to see, this is the last point, the potter's will. Are you there in Jeremiah? Look at verse chapter 18, look at verse 4. The potter's will. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Notice what it says. So he made it again, another vessel. Here's the difference. As seemed good to the potter to make it. See, the potter has a will for your life. The potter has a plan for your life. The potter has a certain way he wants you to look. He has a certain way he wants you to feel. He has a certain way. When the potter looks down at you, his vessel, he says, right now it's not exactly how I want it, but I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to try to make him as seems good to me. Now you and I try to make God, or whatever, try to make ourselves as seems good to us. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And I'm probably misquoting that. I apologize for that. Go to Philippians real quickly. Philippians chapter 1. Now just to help you out, Philippians is right after the book of Ephesians. So if you can find Ephesians, then it's right after the book of Ephesians. Philippians, look at chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. The potter has a will for you. The potter has a plan for you. The potter has a plan. He has a blueprint for your life. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 6. You say, what is it that the potter is trying to make me be like? Are you there? Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he, the potter, which hath begun a good work in you, the vessel, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God is working on you. You say, when will he be done working on you? He'll be done working on you until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is a reference to the rapture. To the day that you go to heaven. Till you die and go to heaven, or God raptures us up from this earth, and you, like it says in Corinthians, this mortal puts on immortality, and this corrupt puts on incorruption. Hey, when you get your glorified body in heaven, God says, I'm done. Until then, he says, I'm working on you. Amen. He that hath begun to do a good work in you, you say, what is he trying to do? Go to 1 John, towards the end of the New Testament there. 1 John chapter 3, right before the book of Jude is the book of Revelation, which is the last book. Right after the book of Jude is Revelation. Right before the book of Jude, you got the small books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I want you to find 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 2. We're almost done. We don't have very much longer. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 2. He said, what is the work? What is the plan? What is it that the potter is trying to do in my life? What is it that he wants me to look like when he's done? When God looks at you and says, I'm done. What is he trying to do? Are you there in 1 John chapter 3? Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. I don't really know exactly what I'm going to look like, or how I'm going to act, or what he wants to do. But we know that when he shall appear, Jesus Christ, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Say, what is it that God's trying to do in my life? Pastor, I don't understand. I'm going through this trial, and I'm going through this struggle, and it feels like I'm going through fire. It's just God working on you. Feels like God's just taking a hammer at me. It's just God working on you. I feel like every time I come to church, the Word of God just pierces me and just cuts me like a sword. It's just God working on you. That's a good thing. Say, so what is he trying to make me be like? Like Jesus Christ. He's trying to make you more like Christ every day. More like his Son every day. The potter's will, his plan, is that you would be like Jesus. His purpose is that you would be like Jesus. Now the only difference between... We're going to go to three more passages, okay? Go to Isaiah 45, real quickly. The faster you can do it. The line is forming at Hometown Buffet. Alright, so you got to move quickly. Isaiah 45. The church down the street is going to get out in 10 minutes. So if we don't finish quickly, you're going to have to wait. Isaiah 45, look at verse 9. Isaiah 45, look at verse 9. No, the church down the street, they're still in their hour and 15 minutes of music. We do it differently. The average church does an hour of music, 15 minutes of preaching. We do 15 minutes of music, an hour of preaching. Because there's power in the Word. Isaiah 45, look at verse 9. Are you there? Isaiah 45, look at verse 9. Amen. The difference between you and I and an actual piece of pottery is that you and I often protest. Look what Isaiah 45, verse number 9 says. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. Am I not?
45. 45.
45-9. Good night. There you go. Thank you. Now, see, now I'm slowing you down. Good night. Isaiah 45:9. That's what I want. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Now, that is interesting. Woe unto him that striveth or argues or is fighting or wrestling with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, you piece of clay, you vessel, you fight and argue with the other pieces of clay, but don't fight and argue with the maker. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, is a potter going to get down to his little wheel there and get his clay there, and they spin the wheel, you know what I'm talking about, and they start begin to form it and fashion it, and they're trying to get it. Is that piece of clay going to start saying, what are you doing? What are you making? I don't want to be a bowl, I want to be a vase. I don't want to be a coffee mug. No. The potter is in full control of the clay. But to you and I, often as God begins to work on us, and God begins to mold us, and God begins to fashion us, we say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing in my life? I don't like this. It doesn't feel good. I want to stay the way I am. But you need to understand, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He's trying to get you to a certain place. And sometimes that means he has to wash you. People say to me, every time I come to church, I feel so dirty. It's because God's trying to clean you. Sometimes you say, I just feel like there's so much going on, there's so much heat. He's trying to purge you. He's just working on you. Go to Romans chapter 9. Remember I told you we had three passages? This is the second one. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 21. Romans chapter 9. Now, don't distract me because I need to get to the right text. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 21. Romans chapter 9, verse 21. Romans 9, 21. This is what Paul said. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Isn't that interesting? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. He says, isn't God in control? He says, you're just clay, you're just a vessel, you're just ashes. God's doing a work in you. He's in control. But the difference is that you and I often think we're in control. And often we don't allow to do his work in our life. And what I'm trying to help you with and explain to you is that if you don't like being worked on, if you don't like being put through fire or being put through water or being... And by the way, those are all things that people do with pottery. They fashion it. They put it, they wash it, they put it in fire. I don't like any of that work on my life. Then just yield and allow him to finish and be like Christ. See, we talked about the potter's work, and we talked about the potter's word, and we talked about the potter's will. Go back to Jeremiah 18. This is the last passage we'll look at. Jeremiah 18. Look at verse number 6. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 6. Jeremiah 18:6. God says to Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. And by the way, you ought to go down to the potter's house. You ought to be consistent to church. You ought to be consistent. You say, why, pastor? Because you need God to work on you.
That's right, man.
You need the power of God. You don't need me. I'm just a man. If Pastor Jimenez dies tomorrow, you say, what do we do, pastor? Find another man that will preach God's word to you and let God do his work in your life. We don't need much in this life, but we need God's word. You need the preaching of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 18, look at verse 6. This is what God says. This is how he applies it. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. You know what God said to his people? He said, I'm the potter, you're the clay. He said, I'm in charge, I'm trying to form you, I'm trying to fashion you, I'm trying to get you to a certain place. And he's saying, won't you allow me? There's a song in the songbook that we like to sing. It's Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I like that song. It says, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Last verse says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Say, Pastor, what's the point of the sermon this morning? God is trying to make you like Christ. And what you and I need is to realize, to just have this attitude. God, have thine own way. Whatever you want me to go through, whatever you're trying to do in my life, whatever it is, God, I'm okay with it because I want to be like your son. He's the potter. You're the clay. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, I don't know what's going on in any other place, but I do thank you that there is a place in Sacramento where the word of God is being preached. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to have this prayer in our lives. Have thine own way, Lord. Not my will, like the Lord Jesus Christ said. Not my will be done. Lord, thy will be done. Lord, I pray you'd help us every day to be more like Christ. Father, we love you in your precious name, I pray. Amen.